Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Trinity Live, but this time from the manse. So there's been lots of frantic activity to get our live stream from the church to the house. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to spin around the camera for you, let you see what's going on. There's a good lady wife, there's a jack boy on the bass, and Archie's going to be singing. So any bad singing, you can blame them and not me. So there we go. Oh, go ahead. Archie's also singer plus cameraman as well. Well done, Archie. Well, folks, considering that church is not really running, I do have a lot of announcements to make this morning. And what we've discovered over the last few weeks, last couple of weeks, is that we're all finding information from different places. So I've tried to bring all the information to one spot. So on our website, which is www.trinitygreyabbey.org, at the top you'll see a banner called Latest Updates. And I'll be updating that as things change and things happen. But hopefully we're in a period of settlement, that for the next few weeks, this is how it's going to be. But for all our updates and the things that we're doing, the website is there. We also will send out emails. We have a group of emails where we send out all our announcements. And I know some of you are not on that. So if you want to be on the emailed announcements, just send an email to announcements@trinitygreyabbey.org. And then just state on that email that you want to go on that mail list for announcements, and we'll get that set up for you as well. But of course, keep a look at Facebook. We've got pages for Grey Abbey and Clocky. Keep a look at those as well. So worship. Worship hasn't stopped. We're using Facebook to live stream. And when this live stream is over, whenever the technical guys can get their hands on the recordings, we'll then put those up onto YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. Just search Trinity Grey Abbey and you'll find a copy of the service from this morning on there. There'll hopefully be a link from the website as well to YouTube to help you find it. But if you can't facilitate those things and you would like a CD or know someone who likes a CD, we're making audio CDs as well. And we want to assure you that the CDs are made and copied, and they're cleaned and wiped down before they leave the church. And the elders who deliver them are cleaning them and wiping them before they hand them to you. But we advise you to, when you take it, give it a clean and a wipe yourself whenever you get it. But it's coming to you as safe a way as possible. Also in our worship too, we offer our offerings. We take up an offering, and that's difficult when we're not in church together. But just to remind you, if you're able and you're willing and you want to still contribute financially to the work of the kingdom, then go online. If you're not giving directly through the bank at the moment, then please do that, and go onto the website, and there's a sheet that'll tell you how to do that, whichever way you want to give. We're also praying as well. We had a great night on Wednesday night when we prayed live, the same as we're doing this morning, when we did tap live. We learned some things about how we can do that better, so we're doing that again next Wednesday night, same time, same place, 7:30 from the manse here. So please go on to that. And if you're talking to someone who doesn't have Facebook, encourage them to pray at 7:30. We're going to be praying for the world around us, for the impact of the coronavirus, for nurses. We're praying for the work of the kingdom, all of those things. Just take a moment yourselves. We'll be praying for about an hour, from 7:30 to 8:30. And if those folks are praying, they know they're praying with us at the same time. So that's the way you can do that. How are we ministering then? Well, our Mission 2020 Facebook page is up and running. The Testimony Tuesdays are there. There's also a little daily devotional or a little inspirational word or a link on there every day to help people connect with Jesus and help Jesus change their lives. We've got K4C online, so on the web page. And we know, boys and girls, you can't get to church and get to K4C, but there's stuff on there today. And we'll talk a bit about that later on in the service when we do our children's address. But parents, take this opportunity to sit with your kids and do some of this stuff together as a family. This afternoon even, just go on, colour stuff in and look at the little video that's on there. We're also collecting for the food bank. We're going to do that fortnightly. And at the moment, all of the perishable things that are not on the shelves, if you've got any stuffed in your cupboards, please set those out and we will lift those for you. The next collection is going to be Thursday the 9th. It'll be the same again as we did last week. From about 6 o'clock round to about 7 or shortly after 7, somebody will drive around and pick those things up from your front door or from your gate, so you just leave them parceled up there. But we'll tell you a little bit more about that closer to the time. There's also some deliveries happening at the minute, and we're so thankful for the people, not just from the church, but from the community association, from St. Saviour's, from our friends next door in the non-subscribing church. Not that St. Saviour's aren't our friends as well, but they're just friends from the other end of the village, and from the lodge. A big list of people there, and some people have been going, I haven't been rung yet, I haven't delivered anything yet. It seems we're in a phase where people are still getting neighbours. There's lots of neighbourly work going on, and lots of deliveries are happening. We're the kind of, if no one else can do it, then the shops will ring us. And this is happening in Grey Abbey and in Clochy as well. So please be patient. The time may come when your services are required and many more deliveries will be needed. But thank you for putting your name down. If you would like to be part of that, text me and I will put your name on the list. Now, for those of you who get Presbyterian heralds, we have received the heralds, but we're not going to be handing those out. And I did receive an email from PCI to say that the publication of the Herald has ceased until further notice. So whenever we get back to normal, whatever that is, you will get the Herald that's there for you, and then whenever they start producing them again, we will get them again. Folks, I think that is all by way of announcement. We're here this morning to worship God, and we're going to do that first by coming together now and bowing together and praying to God. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are a holy God. You are holy, holy, holy God. You are God the Father, you are God the Son, and you are God the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that you have existed since before creation. And before creation existed, you sat in your throne room, in that heavenly place where you planned this creation, and even then you knew us. You knew all about us. You knew when we would come into existence, and you know when our existence will end here on earth. Lord, you know everything about us. You know all of our worries. You know all of our anxieties. You know all of our fears. And Lord, you know what we need. You know what we need to deal with those worries and anxieties and fears in these days. And Lord, we know that this situation with this virus is causing a lot of that. But we do know too, Lord, that we cause ourselves worries and anxiety and fears. We cause others to be anxious, to be afraid, and to be worried. Because Lord, we know that in your great throne room, where you planned this creation, you planned it perfect. But the freedom you gave us caused sin to enter this world and causes lots of these issues that we have between us as your children. But that freedom, Lord, we realise is not freedom at all. The freedom that you gave us, we exercised in sin, and now that sin binds us. We're not free from the bondage of sin, Lord, but we're chained and shackled by it. But we thank you for the plan of Jesus who sets us free. We thank you that in the Word, in your Bible, it tells us, he who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. So we want to pray freedom this morning, Lord, for everyone listening in, tuning in to this live stream. We want to pray that ourselves for the people that we know who are feeling that bondage of sin, for this sinful world that we live in. But Lord, we know that above all of those things that we do wrong, we know that there's that sin that was in the Garden of Eden that visits all of us. The sin that separates us from you. But we thank you that Christ paid for that. We thank you that he dealt with it completely. He conquered death, the punishment for it. And we pray, Lord, now in a moment or two of silence, that we would look to Jesus for forgiveness. We would ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, to forgive us. Lord, maybe some people are listening this morning who don't have Jesus. The original sin from the Garden of Eden that they were born with has not been dealt with. We pray by your Spirit you would speak to people about that right now. And for those who know and love Jesus, Lord, that we would just turn to you and ask that you would wipe the slate clean again this morning as we come to worship for all the things that we do and say wrong. Lord, hear our prayers. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in this world as we worship. As we're isolated in our homes, disconnected from people, We thank you, Lord, that he is not bound by anything. He is free to move around your creation and speak to us. He is free to move around and give us that freedom from an eternity lost. He is free to build us up together as we meet in our homes as families, as we still connect with one another over the phone and in various ways, Lord, to give us that assurance that you are indeed beside us, Lord, in relationship with Jesus. You are with us always, and that you will be with us eternally. So, Lord, may that be in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts as we worship you this morning, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song now, a blessed assurance, but I wanted to read from God's Word, just to call us to worship. Words from Exodus chapter 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my stronghold. He is my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. This is the God of generations, the God who's been speaking to us for many, many, many generations. And he speaks to us now, and he assures us of all his promises. So we want to sing about that this morning as we sing Blessed Assurance. And we encourage you folks to sing along. We're going to be singing. We're not professionals. You'll hear our voices, you'll hear some instruments, but we pray that you would sing along as well. Okay, let's sing Blessed Assurance.
Oh,
Disciples. This passage is the first of a series that we're going to do over Easter. This Sunday, we were meant to have guest speakers both in Clocky and in Grey Abbey to talk to us about the missions that we were partnering with in Swaziland and Uganda through Fields of Life and Challenge Ministries. So we'll pick those things up a little bit later on. And The theme over Easter was to be beside Jesus. So we were going to start with Palm Sunday, an all-age service about the crowds who flocked to be beside Jesus. So today we're going to take a step back from that to when Jesus walked beside those first disciples in Luke chapter 5. So this is the word of God. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats that belonged to Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boats with, they were so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell to his knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen. We ask God to bless us as we read the word together. Now, I want to talk to the boys and girls a wee moment or two, and I'm going to introduce Sunday. Well, not introducing Sunday, I'm actually reintroducing Sunday. Sunday that we've seen before, but someone who has been absent for a long time. So if you bear with me. Now, the boys and girls who regularly go to Trinity will know this guy because they actually gave him his name. And he is, what's your name? Gruff. Yes, you gave him the name. I think it was something to do with the kind of voice that he has got. Boys and girls, we're going to try and bring Gruff back a wee bit to your children's addresses. Would you like that, Gruff?
Oh yeah.
Now Gruff, you haven't been about for a while. Tell us, would you like to tell the boys and girls where you've been? Why not?
You tell them.
I don't really want to tell them. Have you been on holidays?
No.
Have you been anywhere nice?
No.
I'm going to have to tell them.
Yes.
Boys and girls, I have to confess that I have had Gruff in my study all this time sitting on the chair.
On the floor.
Well, yes, you ended up on the floor, but you sat on the chair for a while.
On the floor.
Yeah, and I know you were on the floor. But he was in the chair, and then he moved to behind the chair onto a box.
On the floor.
I know you were on the floor. You ended up on the floor. Then I had to move the box, and then he ended up on the floor.
Face down.
I know you were face down, but I lifted you up off the floor, and now you're here, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm really sorry. So we're going to have you maybe around the house. We'll take some pictures and prove to the boys and girls that you're sitting in comfortable places. Would you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Now, when you were in the room, in the study with me, did you hear anything?
Oh, yeah.
What did you hear?
You talk lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. Lots.
I know I talk. Boys and girls, I have another confession to make. I talk to myself in my study. And there's three people sitting around behind the cameras, and they're all agreeing because they hear me talking to myself in the study. Most of the time, it's because I'm talking over my sermon or doing an assembly. When I come to assembly, I think, "What God, what do you want me to say to the boys and girls?" And then I talk that over and over and over and over and
lots and lots and lots.
Yeah, I think we get in the picture that I talk lots and lots, even when I'm on my own. So, of all of those things that you heard me talking about, what did you hear? What was I talking about?
God, Jesus, Bible.
Yeah, well, that's the standard children's address answer to everything. But could you sum up the things that you heard? Could you say something about all of those things that you've heard? What would you say? What would you say would sum up all of that?
God is good.
Yes, gruff.
God is good.
He is definitely good. And we've heard a story about him today. Did you hear that Bible reading?
Oh, yes.
And what was about the Bible reading? What did you pick up from that?
There was lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fish.
Yes, there was lots and lots and lots of fish. And that amazed the fisherman. But it wasn't just the fish that amazed him. It was what Jesus was teaching. That's what amazed him.
What was he teaching?
Well, we don't know what he was teaching. We're going to look at that a bit later on to maybe see in the Bible what he was teaching. But we just don't know. But he was teaching something that made them so impressed that they dropped everything and followed Jesus. They left everything at the side of the shore.
Everything.
Yes, everything.
Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots.
Lots of fish, yes. They left it all and followed Jesus. And they spent 3 years walking with Jesus before Jesus went back up into heaven. What's wrong with you, Gruff? Are you confused?
Yeah.
I know what you're confused about.
How do you know?
I've got a gift. I know everything about you, Gruff. You're confused because how can we walk beside Jesus and follow Jesus if he's in heaven and we're here?
Exactly. How did you know that?
Well, that's a question that we all ask. You see, earlier on, whenever you were talking about the things that you heard, you gave answers, God, Jesus, and the Bible. You forgot someone else.
Who did I forget?
You forgot the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we can't forget the Holy Spirit, boys and girls. The Holy Spirit is God with us. Not the way that Gruff and I are beside each other now and we can touch each other and stop it. We can touch each other. You're sitting at home with people and you can touch people and you can hand them things. But just in the same way that we know we're beside each other, we know that God is with us by his Holy Spirit. And we've got to ask his Holy Spirit to be with us and let him know that we're here. That's why we pray at the start of the service about the Holy Spirit being with us, because that's how we know that God's with us. And for these people who followed Jesus, they followed Jesus. Jesus went up into heaven and then the Holy Spirit came down and has been with us ever since. And that's how we know God's with us. So boys and girls, we want you to remember that. We want you to learn more and more and more about
God, Jesus, Holy Spirit,
and the Bible. So to do that today, we want you to make sure that your mums and dads get you online. Well, probably you can get your mums and dads online better than they can, but we trust that you'll get online to the K4C online, and you'll hear a story about someone, and guess where they were, Gruff?
On the floor.
Correct. Someone who couldn't walk and spent a lot of time on the floor, but Jesus helped them up onto their feet, and they became a follower of Jesus too. So get online and do that. We're going to sing now.
Oh, good.
Are you a good singer, Gruff?
Oh, yes.
Let's hear.
La, la, la. La, 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 la.
Heather's going to be inviting you to the choir anytime soon. We'll maybe keep you for children's addresses in the meantime. But boys and girls, we're going to sing a song. It's not a children's song as such, but it's a song that we know that you love. It's called Cornerstone. It's about how God and Jesus is with us all the time. So let's all sing together. Okay, Gruff, say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To encourage you to think about people that you can pray for as I pray. I have a list of things here that we want to pray for today. Some of these things are very obvious, but you will know individuals who are involved in these things. So we'll leave little bits of space so that you can pray for the people who you know are working on the front line in the NHS, etc. So let's just come before God now in prayer, and let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in humble reverence today, Lord, because, Lord, all the things that we had so much trust and faith and hope in have become empty and worthless. They've become nothing. Because, Lord, our world has been rocked by this virus. But, Lord, we thank you that there are people who are still at their work and working harder than and in different circumstances than they've ever done. And we want to pray, Lord, for our NHS as they deal with the virus at the very coal face. We thank you, Lord, that while they're doing this, they're trying to continue as best they can, helping lots of people who are ill and who have got lots of different ailments and diseases and sickness. And Lord, we know that for some people, their treatment has had to end, and we want to pray for them this morning, Lord. Just bring in other uncertainties. But Lord, as we think about the NHS and what they're doing in our country now, we know that the workload as they deal with this virus is going to increase. We see it in other countries, Lord, as temporary hospitals are set up preparing for hundreds and thousands of people who are going to be infected with this virus. We pray then to you, Lord, for those companies who are not making what they used to make, producing what they're normally producing, to produce protective clothing and ventilators to help the whole struggle and fight against this virus, Lord. So we just take a moment now, Lord, and in the quietness of our own hearts, we pray for various people in that area. We know too, Lord, there are many other people working on the front line. There are lots of people working to supply all of our essential services, keeping our lights on, the electricity running, keeping the supply of food to the supermarkets, people delivering that food, and Lord, all of those things that are continuing on. Lord, we just pray for those people who are out and about. Yes, we're all told to stay in the house, Lord, and that's where we want to stay. To flatten the curve, as we're told, to help the NHS not be inundated and overwhelmed completely, Lord. But for these other people who have to go out and go to various doors, delivering post and various things, Lord, we just ask your blessing on them. We pray, Lord, you would keep them safe in these days, Lord. Our police officers and our fire brigade who still have to go out and help people. So, Lord, we just pray protection for them. And Lord, we want to pray for our leaders at this time and for all the people working on the front line who will get that coronavirus. And we've seen that, Lord, in the British government, right from the top, the virus is there. And we just pray that whenever anyone in a strategic position, Lord, wherever that is, whether it's government, NHS or some of the frontline services, that there will be others to step up and to help maintain the protection and the necessities that we have at the minute. Lord, we just pray your blessings. And Lord, we have heard about some bereavements recently linked to your congregation. And Lord, we realize that in our country we have a great tradition that when someone passes away, we spend time together. We spend 2, 3, 4 days together. Houses are filled. Stories are told, tears are wept, and times of rejoicing as funny stories about that person that's passed away are retold and told again. And Lord, we have that opportunity of a service of worship and thanksgiving. And Lord, it's a great part of our grieving process. And Lord, we know that in these days that is not possible. We know the reasons why, Lord, but yet we want to pray for people who are bereaved. Even it's not the coronavirus, people who've just died of other causes, Lord. We just pray that you would still help them and be with them in their time of mourning. And Lord, that we as a congregation would be able to draw alongside anyone affected by this in the days and the weeks and the months and the years that lie ahead, Lord, to help bring that comfort to them. But Lord, we do thank you that in these times we see great community spirit. We see people volunteering to help their neighbours and to go and maybe speak to people and leave things at people's doors that would never have been at otherwise. So Lord, we thank you for that. But we do pray against the sinfulness that tempts us to dishonesty, that brings fear in these days, Lord. We do pray against anyone who is thinking about trying to hoodwink people out of their money or out of their groceries or do anything, Lord, that's not loving and caring and kind and generous the way that you would want us to live. And Lord, as we live in isolation, we pray, Lord, that all of us would know that you are near. Not just near, but you are beside us. And we pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be filling every home of every person who's streaming in to this live stream now, Lord. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we turn now to your word, that you would comfort us, that you would engage us all in your word, and that we would be changed, Lord, as we read your word and study it together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're looking at this passage, and we're looking at it in the context of great fear. We have these phrases now that we never used a couple of months ago. Social distancing, social isolation, stay in your homes is the message. And the first thing that I want to say this morning is that because we're physically disconnected from each other, that doesn't mean that we're spiritually disconnected. We have surely seen that the Holy Spirit's not limited to our physical interactions with each other, or as we worship together in church, or as we pray together at prayer meetings, or as we meet together in our ministries and our discipleship groups. Now, the Holy Spirit is much greater than that. And we've had great feedback from this service last week when it was from the church. People have shared with us that they feel blessed. We had a real time of blessing as we prayed over Facebook last week. And on Thursday night, our Kirk session, we were able to have a meeting over a conferencing platform, a video conferencing platform that we were all able to share and talk about the congregation and seek God for what we can do and the best ways to do things. So we're so thankful for the technology and so thankful that the Holy Spirit can work beyond it, above it. And this passage today and this whole series of being beside Jesus, something that God gave to me a few months ago when I was service planning. And I thought it's maybe a bit inappropriate now because we're talking about being beside Jesus whenever we can't be beside each other and there's that distance. But one thing that I realized was every story that we read, this story today that we've read, we're distanced from this story anyway. We're distanced by 2,000 years of time. We're distanced by about 2,500 miles geographically from where this story took place. And culturally, well, I don't know if the difference could even be measured between the culture of this story and where we live today and the context that we're in now. But what we know is this. This story and us today, it's the same God. It is the same Jesus. It is the same Holy Spirit. And it is the same intention. God's intention has not changed. His intention was to send Jesus to bring in this kingdom of grace, to build his kingdom, not through the law, but through grace, so that people could be connected to God through Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then have that relationship built all the days of our lives until that point when we went to eternity. And that is still what God is at today. So we can read about God doing this in chapter 5, and you might want to open chapter 5. This is the first of a series, and if my cameraman swings the camera around, you will see that this is the slide that you'll see on the website. You'll see it on Facebook or on our app. This is the one that will, you click into that, you'll see all the sermons on being beside Jesus. And this one is Jesus calling his first disciples. So he's walking beside a lake and he has crowds following him and he's teaching those crowds. It's early in Jesus' ministry. It's early because the first disciples came early in his ministry, and a little bit later on he calls the 12 disciples, all of them together. So we know that all the other Gospels record this early on in Jesus' ministry. Not time stamped, but one day it says, as Jesus was walking beside the lake, he was teaching and people gathered. And Jesus had to get into a boat. He had to get in a boat because the people just kept gathering around him and gathering around him. They wanted to hear what he was saying. And when he was speaking, they kept getting closer. So he had to go into a boat to give a bit of social distance, believe it or not, between him and the crowd. Not because of a virus, but just so that he could see them and that they, as many as possible, could see him. But interestingly, in this record here in Luke, it doesn't tell us what he was teaching. But Mark tells us that Jesus was teaching, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And that's what Jesus was telling him. The kingdom has come. For you people who are Jews, who know that the Messiah is about to come or is coming sometime, that time is now, the kingdom is now, and I am that Messiah. But Jesus was teaching more than that. How we know that is because over in chapter 6, Jesus goes up onto a mountain, he chooses his 12 apostles. So again, this is stamped as early on in his ministry, and he comes down from the mountain and says when he went down with them, he stood on a level place. We call this the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. Jesus, in that sermon, talks about loving enemies. He talks about how we judge others and how we think of other people, how to live as wise and foolish builders. And the material that we find in Luke chapter 6 is repeated in Matthew chapter 5, but it's expanded and it's extended because Jesus speaks there more extensively in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. In that sermon, he talks about how we should love one another and treat each other as his followers, what we should do, and he repeats that phrase, you've heard that it was said, but now I tell you, a new way to live, a new way to treat people. Later on in his ministry, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, well, it's to love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then he says the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I think, folks, in these days, we are actually seeing some of what Jesus taught us on display in the world. We see Jesus active in the world around us. There is great activity all around us as a reflection of what Jesus is doing and what he has taught. We see people loving their neighbors. We see people going around and doing things, great community acts of kindness, people literally loving their neighbors. But we see lots of people doing this, and these people maybe wouldn't necessarily be followers of Jesus. Some of the people that we see being active today, displaying the things that Jesus taught, maybe wouldn't even consider themselves to be religious or to be people of faith at all. They might even be offended that I would be suggesting such a thing. That there's something about them that's displaying the love of a God. But we read the Bible and the Bible's clear. The Bible tells us that we are all made in God's image. In that great throne room of his, before time began, God had purpose for us. And God then created us. He created Adam and Eve out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into them, into Adam, the breath of life. And we're all part of that creation. So there's a part of us that is in the image of God, and it is connected to God. Not completely, not holistically, but there's part of us that reflects God. And at times like this, we see the love of God. It's a bit, you know, when you go to the doctor and he wants to check your reflexes and he can hit you on the elbow or he can hit you on the knee and you flinch uncontrollably. I think we're seeing an uncontrollable overflowing of God's love in these days. But can God really use unbelievers to display his love for the people that he's created? Well, I think he can. And as we read the passage, I think we'll see that we're seeing a man here called Simon. Simon is a fisherman and he is an unbeliever. He's not a follower of Jesus. He's just a fisherman who's heard Jesus preaching on the side of the shore. And he has now been asked to go out fishing. And he knows, Jesus knows that they've been out fishing all night. He sees them washing their nets. He knows there's no fish sitting beside them, so he knows they've come in, they've washed their nets, and there's no fish there. And they're supposed to fish at night, that's when the fish come into the nets. But Simon has been listening to Jesus, and he replies there in the verse, he says, "Master, because you say so, we'll do it." He's just acknowledging Jesus as a powerful teacher, a powerful preacher. There's an authority that he has heard from Jesus that he hasn't heard from anyone else. That's why he responds in this way. It's a sign of just authority and respect. "Master, we'll go and do this." And they go out and they fish. And they get so many fish that the nets burst. And they shouldn't be getting fish. They fish at night. Fish are not there during the day. This is absolutely senseless. It's no fisherman in his right mind would go out and fish during the day. But they do. And the fish come. And the fish go into the net. And the fish... so many fish go in that the nets burst. And what we're seeing here is Jesus being active. Jesus is all around, and Jesus is active in these great, remarkable acts that we see from time to time. Now I wonder, in the days in which we're living, in the context that we're in right now, is there anything out there that would be as remarkable or even miraculous as this catch of fish? Well, last week the government asked for 250,000 volunteers for the NHS. And they ended up with over 700,000 volunteers. Far more than they were expecting. I wonder if we could actually count the number of people who are volunteering and all of those community acts of kindness, all those lists that are going on around the country, not just in Gray Abbey or in County Down or in Northern Ireland, but the full length and breadth of the United Kingdom and in the south of Ireland. And I'm sure these things are repeated throughout Italy and Germany and Spain and France and in America, and they've happened in China. People out responding, this overflow of love. I think it's fair to say that we're seeing something that's quite miraculous even. It's fair to say that we're seeing an outpouring of the love that God has for us in all of these acts of kindness. But it's also fair to say that not everyone would interpret what they're seeing around them the way that I'm interpreting it and the way that what I'm suggesting today. But Simon, as a man who was not a follower of Jesus, he had a clear interpretation of what Jesus was teaching. Now, we're not actually clear. It doesn't say here what Jesus was teaching. What was the topic? We can think of all those other parts of Scripture, like the Sermon on the Mount. We can think about the Sermon on the Plain. We can think about all the other things that Jesus was taught. But I was sitting going, I wonder what Jesus had just said that prompted him to use a miraculous catch of fish as an illustration to make the point of what he just was teaching. I just wondered, what was he saying? And I was sitting just thinking about that. And God gave me this verse. It just helped me, so it may help you too. It's from John chapter 6. Jesus teaches this: "All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." I wonder, was Jesus teaching something about people being sent to him by God? Just in the same way that he has just sent those fish into that net. Those fish weren't there. Jesus commanded those fish to go into that net and to fill that net. Was Jesus saying that this kingdom that is now coming is going to be so full? And did Simon just realize that that's what he's saying? Now, I'm not saying that's exactly what Jesus was saying. But he could have been saying, and he must have been saying something like this, because what I've just shared with you is the good news, that God is calling people to himself through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when God sends us to Jesus, Jesus will not turn us away. But there's that reluctance when we realize who we are. And we see that reluctance with Simon. He says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And you may be saying something similar to yourself. That may be what's going on in your mind right now, that you know that you are sinful. But we encourage you to turn to Jesus today. He is the one who brings comfort. He is the one who gives us eternal life. Simon realized who Jesus was, and he realized he needed to get on his knees with an outcry of acknowledgement of his sin before Jesus. That is our attitude. That was his attitude. And I wonder what our attitude is to all of this. What is your attitude as you see Jesus active in the world all around us? What is your attitude? Well, we see in the world a mixed attitude. We see lots of positivity in volunteers, in community initiatives. But we also see the sinful side of it. We can't forget about the sin that exists. And we've seen it, haven't we? We've surely seen it. We've heard stories of how gloves that the NHS need have been stolen from hospitals. Hand sanitizer stolen from hospitals. We have seen lots of selfish storing of food and buying more food that we need. And now we hear reports and see pictures of that food still in its container sitting beside a bin because it's now out of date. Such selfishness, theft. We've heard stories of people going to particularly vulnerable people and older people's doors and saying, "I'll go and get your groceries," either taking a card or taking cash and disappearing off and never coming back. Stealing. All in the name of help. And there's a phenomenon now on Facebook, and we're so thankful for Facebook. We're able to stream live through Facebook. But people use all sorts of things for good, and they can use it for bad. I heard a phrase this week that I didn't even know it was a real phrase. It's just something new. Someone called like hunters. People are like hunters. They're hunting for likes. They want their posts to get all the likes and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of likes. So they're like-aholics. They're just addicted to getting people to like the posts that they put on Facebook. Doesn't matter whether they're true, by the way. Doesn't matter what these things say and how sensational they are. Doesn't matter that they cause anxiety and fear, misinformation and confusion. That doesn't matter to them. Total selfishness. And we see that in these days. But I pray that you would look out in the world around you and you would see Jesus active. You would see him doing things through various people, various acts of love and kindness. And that you would know there's more to that love and kindness than just loving the neighbor. There's a loving God part of it. And I pray that you would be like Simon and you would know. You would know that Jesus wants to be beside you. He knew that he couldn't dwell with Jesus. Get away with me. He knew they couldn't be beside. He was sinful. Jesus is holy. The two shouldn't be able to dwell. But because of Jesus' love and because of his sacrifice, we can dwell with him. He makes us holy when we come into a relationship with him. And we can be beside him. And I pray that that is what you are hearing and seeing in the world around you, that Jesus wants to be with you today, every day of your life, and all the way into eternity. The response of Jesus to Simon, I think, is just lovely. There is Simon realizing his sin. "Get away from me, God," he's saying. And Jesus looks at him with love and he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid today of coming into a relationship with Jesus. Coming into a relationship with Jesus will help the fear that you're maybe feeling and the anxiety and all of those things." And you can. And we know that the Holy Spirit is working just the same way that the Holy Spirit worked with Simon. We a number of Sundays over the last few months have been able to share with you as a congregation that people have come to know Jesus through the ministries and conversations. People that we know for years have now come to know Jesus, and we're so delighted that we've had a number of people that's happened with. And I so wish that we were standing either in Clochy or in Grey Abbey this morning and I was able to tell you that another person has come to faith. I can tell you that, and I am telling you that. But I remember when we said those the last few times that people, there was a couple of hallelujahs and amens and people clapped, and we just can't feel that. But I pray you're feeling the Spirit now. As I tell you, there was a lady who's connected to our congregation who got a present, a gift from our ladies' ministry, and it prompted her, the words on it prompted her to engage with a book that she had bought years ago or someone had given her. She lifted it, she read it, and she gave her life to Jesus and has now been discipled by one of the ladies in the committee of our ladies' ministry. And in that we rejoice. There's a member of our congregation, there's a really good friend who was walking with the Lord years ago, but like so many, that relationship became distant. But he phoned me up and we've been talking, and he's now reading his Bible. He's got his mother's Bible out. He's reading his mother's Bible, remembering the things that she told him. Reading it for himself. He's rediscovering his prayer life between him and God. And the Holy Spirit is at work, folks. And that's what it leads to, because all of this stuff, knowing that Jesus is around, knowing that Jesus is active, and knowing that our attitude should see this stuff around, leads to lots of action. And that's what God wants to see. In the end of the passage, if you've got it open in your hand, Jesus' response at the end, he says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Not that men were going to be put in the net and brought, dragged and kicked and screaming to church. No, these men, these fishermen, would be the first disciples that Jesus would teach about how to continue the good work of bringing people to God through him. And they left everything. They left everything and followed Jesus. Matthew and Mark tell us that they did it at once. They did it without delay. They did it immediately. Folks, as a follower of Jesus, do you have the urgency of attitude? Do you have the urgency to reflect the love of God and that people would see Jesus active all around you? Do you have that so that people could have the attitude of repentance before God? That they would see and know Jesus? That your life and your words and your deeds would all bring people together and bring people to Jesus? Do you have the assurance that Jesus is with you? Are you walking closely with him? Are you reading? Are you getting online? Are you sitting down with your children and helping them to build their relationship and their faith as you go on to our online resources? Because as we do this, folks, even in these disconnected days, the Holy Spirit will, can, and does bring people into relationship with Jesus and build that relationship up. Folks, that's our message for today about being with Jesus. And we pray that you'll come again on Wednesday night to Tap Live as we continue to pray for the world around us and the world close to us and people that we know. And then we'll start next Sunday on Palm Sunday, and throughout Holy Week we have some services there. You'll find them all on our website. We're going to close now by singing a song, a very familiar hymn of praise. This song helps us to just know who God is, and will bring back memories to all of us as children, as young people for over the years, singing this great song as we think about God. So let's join together as we sing.
I hear the mind.
pray that you've been blessed by God today as we've met for worship. We're just going to ask you now to read the screen as we read it together here in the house. The words of the grace, we'll just say this all together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Different between like 166 and 170.